Tonight, I am happy to introduce an artist whose work humbles and inspires me. Fernando Bryce, currently living and working in New York City as well as Lima, Peru, where he is ultimately from, makes series of mimetic drawings that encapsulate a time and circumstance while bringing into question the transparency and neutrality of historical documents and materials. Equal parts research and production, these works require intellectual curiosity, scholarship, and commitment to content and process, which you might say is also content. Having studied in Lima and Paris, and having lived for some time in Berlin, an education of its own, Fernando looked for a means of making art that felt complete, combining his interest, and came upon the drawing series that he is now so readily recognized for in the mid-1990s. For Arta Aldea, Miriam Basilio, while writing about the current interest in labor-intensive works on paper, particularly those rendering news, photographs, and printed matter related to political activism and historical events, distinguishes Fernando Bryce as, quote, standing out among his contemporaries for his intellectual breadth, rigor, and his focus on drawing practice. Going on to explain that, quote, his project entails critical reflection on the intersections between visual, editorial, and exhibition cultures, the functions of archives, and the implications of all of these for historical memory. It is no surprise that such work has found its way into some of the most important international exhibitions. In 2000, for example, Fernando was awarded the prize of the National Biennial of Lima, and he was included in Manifesto 4 in Frankfurt in 2002. Other group exhibitions include the 8th International Istanbul Biennial in 2003, the 26th Biennial of Sao Paulo in 2004, and the 11th Biennale of Lyon in 2011. Also in 2011, a major survey of Fernando's work, Drawing Modern History, was organized by the MALI in Lima and traveled to the MUAC in Mexico City and MALBA in Buenos Aires. He is represented in Berlin by the gallery Barbara Thum and in New York by Alexander and Bonin, which is where I encountered his recent solo exhibition that focused on three works, The Book of Needs, Arte Nuevo, and Art News 1944 to 1947. An overwhelming display, I have to say, of more work than seems possible for one artist to have made. Fernando's work can be found in major collections including Tate London, Arco Foundation in Madrid, the Perez Art Museum in Miami, the MoMA in New York, the MFA Houston, and the Carnegie Museum in Pittsburgh. And tonight we have the great pleasure of hearing from him directly. So without further delay, please join me in welcoming Fernando Bryce.
Good evening, and thank you for coming. Thank you, Terry Thornton, Michael Moore, for inviting me, and the Modern Art Museum of Fort Worth. I'm honored to be here with all of you and be able to share and talk about my work. So I will apologize my precarious English, but I will try to be the best. So first of all, I will read a text I prepared for this occasion, and then I will comment four bodies of work, and then we can have some questions and answers. So, well, my work revolves around history, its representation through images and texts, and the questioning of them as cultural constructions and power discourses. The source materials I work with include all kinds of printed documents, magazines, pamphlets, posters, newspapers, articles, and advertising, considered as historical documents, and the method I have developed consists in the appropriation and reproduction of this archival material through drawing and rearranging them in different configurations. I call this method mimetic analysis. That was a term I invented to describe my work method rather than pretend a theoretical concept, which of course it is also, but well, I am not that theoretical. These two concepts are in some way a contradiction, since the term mimetic refers to the constitution of a representation and analysis addresses the dissolution and separation of a determinate object or a body. Mm-hmm. Along with the drawings, I also use found objects that work as museal vitrines objects, sometimes related and in dialogue with them. I have also used silkscreen as a reproduction technique. In recent years, my work has gained certain encyclopedic character that is forming thematic cycles or cyclus. My latest drawing series are part of a sort of mapping of 20th century's cultural and geopolitical representations. During the early 2000s, I began a large project related to political and cultural events from Peru in the 20th century called Atlas Peru, where I researched the different ways in which a nation state or a national state is built and represented through official discourses and images. It was, for me, the first work where I began to systematize my method to work. After that, I began several large bodies of work related to the relationship between Latin America and the U.S. from a cultural and geopolitical point of view. I call this kind of encyclopedical traveling plan tiki. That my work is also, in some way, I like the parodies. You know, the appropriation itself is a kind of parody. You know? And in this case, the plan tiki is a reference to a plan in the 70s from the military government in Peru with this kind of 5-year plan of Antiquia. Tiki is referred to the Polynesian godness, which is a kind of exotist idea, so, well, a no place in our imagination. After this cycle, I decided in a more global way to approach images and representation of what we can call world history, with a special focus on histories related to colonialism, imperialism, totalitarianism, and their representations. That means a plan that runs throughout the decades of the 20th century, depending on which time period I approach them with different images categories. I would like to describe you the different aspects of my work process. In general, there is a particular intention behind my work, which has to do with the idea of transfiguring the images from the archives by taking them out of their original context. In the source, they are all condemned to be prisoners of the circumstances in which they were constructed. The document is a fact of the past, whereas the drawing is something anew. In this sense, a difference is established and one is under the impression that through the mimetic or mimetic process, the original is being put in relief and there is a sense of transformation. By transforming the documents into drawings, the first sensation is that it's clear that what the image means in the document, you get the impression the through is there, but it could be seen differently. when transfiguring the document, when drawing it, what I am interested on is changing it into something else, liberating it from its original material condition and the institutional order which it is inscribed, which is the archive. Then there is no longer the real newspaper or the real magazine, and I like that. Of course, I am interested in the documents as products of the material culture from a determinate time and condition. And as Raymond Williams said, all cultural objects have to be seen as specific dispositions and specific forms full of intentions and contents. That's for me important. But at first moment, I am interested in duplicating the things I discover as a way to take possession of the object and allowing another interpretation. My work is always about commenting images through images as a specular situation. It is at this point of the process of questioning the images through reproduction and visual reordering, after which the narrative sense of the work appears, where the images are selected, associated with one another, compared in juxtapositions within an iconographic pattern in a historical perspective. This kind of visual narrative is guided on the one hand by the ideas I may have on the subject I'm dealing with, and which are based on historical interpretations, and on the other due to the evocative power of the images themselves and the sensible relationships I establish with them. I'm also constantly rethinking and questioning the historiographical line, I call that the historiographical line, which guides me through the process when researching in the archives, because in the archives we discover a lot of things, and that help us also to find other ways to thinking about the subject we deal with. The whole represents a labor of historical memory reconstruction with artistic means, based on what the French philosopher and historian Paul Ricoeur called the archive memory. The archived memory. I'm interested in reshaping all those representations of real objects or events understood also as media constructions, in which, since the end of the 19th century, photography has dominated our modern mass media world. In that sense, my labor could be seen as a kind of conscious, anachronistic way to approach those images. This mediated condition of circulating and archived images is one aspect. The other is, as I said, what you think about that historical moment and how to rethink them on a new order or constellation. This new constellation is what differentiates the new images from the primary material and detach in a way from the real propaganda document, which has the explicit aim of one-sidedly defending something or persuading people. It is a critical endeavor in that sense, or a second-hand one, if you like. Then things calm down with the drawing. What also interests me about the drawing is that in the process, all the images, without exception, become homogenized. They all become equal, and there is a sort of iconographic democracy that allows me to arrange the historical images on a certain narrative way in the montage. The only hierarchies are in the counterpointing, the weight I give to specific segments, scales, etc. Situated on the field of art and in the margins of the historian discipline, I like to see my practice as one of a para-historian. The historiographical operation is described by Paul Ricoeur in three steps: documentation, explanation, and representation, which imply a narrative element. In my case, the formula will be documentation, reproduction, and combination. The academic discipline of history focuses on explaining and my work on showing. Finally, there is another kind of motivation that has to do with present-day issues or how history is narrated and transmitted, something that is so selective in relation to historical memory. There is always a critical stance towards all that. I say, this is what they tell us. Let's see what is really happening. Let's go and look at the images in the archive. Sometimes I see my function similarly to a scholar that receives the order to accomplish certain instructions and assignments. In that way, I work as a copyist, which mission is the transcription of archive material like a very slow fax machine. I often think of Walter Benjamin's dictum, in which he said that the appropriation and knowledge of the past and the historical object by bringing it into the present could only be understood as a rescue. Well, now we can begin to look at four bodies of works. We are beginning with images of my last exhibition in New York at the Gallery Alexander and Bonin. And, that is a typical gallery or space situation of my work. That big series on the left side is called Book of Needs. Then there are other series I will comment after that. The Book of Needs is a series based on archive material from the UNESCO. The UNESCO is the United Nations Cultural Organization. And it is the first time I found these images on the internet. That was very, not too difficult. And this series belonged to, as I say, this cyclus, the cycle related to world history through, represented through images. And in this case, it deals with the beginning of the Cold War and the beginning of decolonization process and the beginning of the new world architecture, through the UN, after the Second World War, with all the new institutions. And it was really amazing to see on these images a certain spirit shared by all the world in some by different ways, of course, in confrontation, but certain ideas of progress, of understanding and so on. Also the idea of the universal progress, but also in with new challenges, because after the Second World War, there was not only the Cold War, but also the new challenges for the international community to affront, the new cultures, the new countries. They were before colonies and they were independent as India and new African countries, etc. And this international arena, it was a challenge to thinking also this kind of new considerations of the other cultures and to relate that with some kind of universal liberal ideals as the human rights and so on. In all this material, you have so many lines or issues. They come again and again. The series was thinking to be from 47 to 54. I have in my works always, so I decide before I begin the work, so after to review the whole material, I decide when I stop one series, not to have only a segment. Of course, I have to have a limit because the archive has not an end. Yes, and it was for me very interesting to see how the whole issues of this time, represented by this new international full of optimism, despite the problems of the war and so on, how the problems of this time, in some way, are the same problems as today, no? But with the big difference that at this time it was a kind of optimism that is not more existent at our days, and this kind of contrast between the past and our time, but dealing with the same problems, that is for me very important, especially in this series. And I decide to do it, and as I always do with my work, as a kind of actualization of what we call history in our present, not to see it in another way, maybe. Yeah, we have Mrs. Eleanor Roosevelt. That is, for example, an image that is also funny because I sometimes I speak in front of me the original document, but it's my drawing. No, and maybe I like also in the sense to work with history because I deal in some way with like a historian. No, also by speaking about history, not about my work. So, but I switch between the two positions. No, to speaking about my work and to speak about the images that are, of course. That is also another point in the work because sometimes there are people that are a little bit irritated that there's too much content. And what I mean, everybody has his own, como si se gusto?
Taste.
Nicht wahr? Aber, well, so here we have an image from Libya, for example, which is very, very interesting because it was one of the few countries found directly by the United Nations because Libya was an Italian colony, and at our days it's a country that doesn't more exist. That's also all the discussions about the human nature and, the whole confrontations between more conservative and more progressive point of view. And so everything expressed by the UNESCO. That was absolutely incredible to find this image because it's like the absolutely contrast to our time. Of course, it was also very, very typical for this time, la creencia. Creencia. The belief on the science and the technology. I mean, we have still this belief and it's also okay in some way, but this time it was absolute acritical. No? And that is, for example, an article by Claude Lévi-Strauss. He wrote some pamphlets divulgation publications for the UNESCO, also about this issue, no? About to put in question the primitiveness, and that is not really a primitiveness, in the sense that the
so-called primitive societies that are sometimes more complicated than our. Well, that is also Claude Lévi-Strauss was really a kind of a militant from the UNESCO the first years. It's everywhere. Well, here we arrive to another work by the exhibition in Alexander and Bonin, and well, I have to tell you a little bit so how I plan an exhibition. No, maybe that is the good moment because everything is thinking on my plan. I have a kind of plan, as I said. So I as I said, and for this exhibition, the work before, the year before, was dealing, we will see that after this exhibition, was dealing about the Second World War. And then after that, I did a big series from the afterward time, but dealing with Peruvian issues and in some way also with Latin American issues. That was 2013. And then that is another step, so in this way through the historical time, so to say, no? And I was thinking, why not to work with more cultural issues and also artistical issues from this period, the Cold War period, and in the Western world. No? And so I decided to make this exhibition more dealing with these images from the cultural and the artistical aspects of this time. No? And, well, I had the UNESCO series, which was more a kind of geopolitical, you know, with this emblematical new institution, world institution. And then I was thinking, why not to have more something more more local, more specific, in this case to a city, which is New York. No? And this series is called Art News. Art News 1944-1947. And, well, I decided to look at the artistic scene in New York at this time, which is, of course, a very interesting time because during the 40s in the U.S., but... sobre todo, ¿cómo se dice? Above all in New York. So you had so many artists, they fly the fascism, the war in Europe, they come to New York, and the American avant-garde was also by cooking the new formulas and well, and also many Latin Americans were also in New York. So it was a very interesting transition time. The 40s, especially end of the 40s, middle end of the 40s. So, and so then I decide to look at the in the archive, to look at the art magazines because in the art magazines you have the all day art history in some way, and the most interesting aspect I find in this art news magazine. Was the side with the exhibition announcements, and I was fascinated because you could see when was the exhibition, who was the artist, and you can have a panorama in this simple way because they were not too attractive the announcements a little bit. Certain of them with a kind of incluso, so a kind of a funeral touch also. But well, then I decide formally to I choose because my work is always by I have to choose permanent impermanence, and then I make a choice of many of these announcements. And try to make an equilibrium between the, of course, the more famous American artists they were at this time. They were not too famous, still famous, but well, it was not the 50s. And some Latin Americans that were there, as Tamayo or Mata, and some Europeans, and also some not too well known, I think there is a boxer. He stopped to box and to begin to paint. I don't remember the name is there. Well, so I make this mix as a kind of panorama of this time. No, and I put some of the original ones are all in positive, and I put some of them in negative in order to make a more a graphic attractive composition. No, and also a kind of allusion of the abstract art and so on. Well, that is the serious art news, which is a very I kind of follow the history through the archive in a very, in some way, a simple way. And that is Arte Nuevo. That is the other series was in the exhibition in New York. That is a wall, 6 meter long wall. And for this work, I decided to reproduce some images with silk screen. So to put a little bit color into my work, but also the first reason to change the technique was, first of all, the impossibility to make a drawing from this kind of abstract images in a certain bigger way, no? And also the particular conditions in those images circulating at this time and were produced. The series is called Arte Nuevo because it's related to an Argentinian art magazine. So the series deals with abstraction, because it was also in this time. It was a kind of another aspect of this time. And I had UNESCO, New York, and then I was thinking, okay, in the Western world, which was the most at this time? Of course, it was many kind of abstractions. But I decided to look at the geometrical abstraction because geometrical abstraction has something very is a kind of resume of reducted in the form, and we can always say that a painting of still life from the 19th century was almost the same in Boston or painted in Lima or in Paris. This universal or supposed to be universal language of abstraction, and particularly the geometrical one, which in the forms are very very certain simple. That is related to this idea of an international language and universal language beside the cultural differences. And that was for me very interesting, no? To look, and I was thinking where I have to look that, and I was thinking, okay, I am by the publications, and I was looking in this Argentinian publication, Arte Nuevo, no? And then the French one, Art d'Aujourd'hui, which was a very militant abstractionist magazine. And then the American part, it comes through the Art d'Aujourd'hui with some articles about the young American artist in Paris. So, and it was a kind of composition of comparison between these different kind of images, but they have to do with the same spirit, not worldwide, but in the Western world, you know, taking Paris, the old capital of the art in the Western world, New York, the new capital of the world, of the art in the Western world, and Buenos Aires, a peripheral capital of the Western world. It was this triangle what interests me. And also, for example, Ertan, that he's really an artist, no? And another aspect that brings me to do the silk screens was the way these images circulated at this time, because when I saw the primary material, it was amazing to see that the color comes only by the covers, but the other parts of the publication is always black and white, no? And that is also another aspect that make that I decide to make it in silkscreen, also to show the quality of the images they are circulating at this time, no? Some art historian told me that many of the avant-garde in Buenos Aires, they saw the first Mondrian first when they go to Paris or to New York, no? And before that they only saw some reproductions in black and white. So that is the another series, the last one, which is called El Mundo en Llamas, The World in Flames. And that is a big series from 95 drawings, done in 2010-2011, and show by Alexander Ambonin also. And with this series, my issue, my theme was the Second World War through the images. Second World War, which of course is a catastrophe of the 20th century, and is still a kind of factory of images, no? Because the image production from the Second World War is still in our times. I mean, and as issue for me, of course, it was very important, and again, because the series before that, they were dealing with the 20s, with the 30s in Europe, and also the German colonial history or the British colonial history, and so on. But then I arrived to the Second World War, and I had to decide how to approach this big issue, not only dramatical but catastrophical. And of course, the first point was okay, could go to the archives and to stay by my way of working. And in this case, I decided to choose only two, almost three kind of images, three categories. One is the newspapers, the front of the newspapers from different points of view, no? And the images from the cinema, the advertising in Lima. They were this kind of images coming from the mostly from the US because of the American films, and they were in some way returned in Lima and then printed in the announcement pages from cinema in the newspapers. And well, that was for me very interesting to compare these two kind of images, and also some kind of advertising dealing with I don't know, products like radio, no, which was very modern at this time, but using the theme of the war, no, which it was, I think, also a particular aspect that's happened in Peru, a country which was not involved in war. So then, the first step was this. To clear this structure of the series, no? Well, cinema and news. And why the news? Because the news are also a kind of construction of the events, no? Through images and text. I mean, with a certain on different ideological points of view. No, and they are all related to the events, but it is a kind of construction, and that is for me very interesting. And the images from I mean in this case is the advertising from cinema, which are also kind of constructions, but through fictions. No, but they built also our imaginary, no? And it was also interesting to see that they were films dealing with the Second World War. They were made right few months after the events. For example, it was a film about Pearl Harbor, I think, few months, a fiction film, few months after the events, no? They deal, of course, as propaganda, and it was the good propaganda, but because it was the good side. And well, but this kind of images, this comparison of images is for me is what my work deal, no? So then I try to build a kind of narration with all this material, no? In the sense, I am looking at the different, for example, at the different parts. That is a German news, because at this time television doesn't exist, although for very few people in very few countries, and it was always everything was in the cinemas, and that is the German news in Peru before Peru declares the war on Germany, 44, a little bit later, and that is the kind of association of images I do. As usual in my work, and in a special way in this case from the world in flames, you know, with the events, you know, told by El Comercio, which is a established newspaper in Peru. Le Matin, in this case, is a pro-German French newspaper, which was Republican, Democratic Republican, but becomes pro-fascist after the occupation and the Vichy regime, and the New York Times, and the events from different points of view. Where is going Europe? I mean, that is for me also. You can read it also from our times, colonial films, who is going to Europe. I think through images. That is incredible. That is the meeting by Laval and Hitler. That is all. They are also this kind that is the way we read, and we read the images in different way. It depends on the person. But for me, it was first incredible the normality of this time, the normality, of course, and besides Laval, je cherche du travail. I'm looking for a job. So it's like well. So that that is, I have to say, in this series, where it's perfect for me to speak about how I construct a discourse, a visual discourse, in this sense also to speak how I do my job as a kind of para-historian, because it's not only the associations through some contrast and to follow in a certain chronology, which is very important because I have to respect some chronology, no? But also I have, of course, which is not maybe too evident for the people they see my work, but I have to have, as every historian, but I have to say that I am not an academical historian, I have to have a certain line of a certain position, because we are not neutral, that doesn't exist the neutrality, and in this case, of course, when I was working on the archives and looking at this whole material, I was thinking, well, I want to arrive 44, the first news about the extermination war on the East made by the Nazis, and that is an aspect, no? That is an aspect. A war that begins with the attack to the Soviet Union by the Nazi Germany. And that is for me the and at the same time also this new constellation from the Western, from the Allies, no, with certain aspects that they are still present in our day. So because it was also a kind of competition, despite that we know where the good side was, but a kind of also the aerial superiority, for example, that is also a kind of other aspect. But for example, I find this La Sombra del Terror, the shadow of the terror, no, and this kind of associations I like to, because they are related to the issues I like to put it on the series. Oh, that was President Roosevelt. That is, in some way, this kind of images are like the essence for me of this project, this horrible project of which it was also a colonial project through extermination, and despite the totalitarian character and the monstrosities also take place in the Soviet Union, but it was the war was the against the Third Reich was possible by the alliance between the Soviet Union and the Western democracies, and this point is for me like in a historiographical way very important at the Second World War. That also American films about Stalingrad at this time. It's more of this pop culture. That is, for me, a very emblematical image. So it's the news about the big, big, big meeting from Marshal Pétain in Paris 3 or 2 months before the liberation, no? Which is show us also this big contradictions in Europe, and particularly in the fascist Europe, which was also a project for a new Europe. That is that is the lighter way some people deals at this time with the war in Lima, Peru. That is advertising for the lottery in Lima. You know? I mean, at the same time, for me, it's also to make. I love to make my job, and also it's very funny. I mean, it is also a kind of label where I am not always thinking about the sense of the work, but when I am into the work and this process of reproduction, and yeah, it is like. Sometimes, like it's a little cliche, but it's like a child that in, you know. So, and I like to put all this material in drawing, you know, and in order to see it in another way, you know, and to have it in today in our present and not more in these images that belongs to the past, you know. That is a very interesting. Image because that is from 44 September 44, and I was looking for news of the fierce liberations made by the Red Army from the extermination camps in Eastern Europe, and only that report about that, and it was the communist newspapers from France, L'Humanité. And then the German Jewish newspaper from New York from German Jewish in exile, Anna Arendt was writing there also, and so Thomas Mann, well, and one of those exemplars from this time, which is September 44. And after the Bagration operation, it was this big offensive of the Red Army in the Ukraine and vice Russland. The first liberation of the camps, Madianek was the first one, was reported by these newspapers. And that here is the Bestrafung der Verbrechen an den Juden in Europa. So it's like the punishment and the assassins, right? That is an amazing newspaper, Paris Presse. Let me see, May 45. This image, I don't know it. It was a kind of reconstruction at this time, you know. Okay. But it's fantastic. It's after the liberation of a camp. By the first American Army. And that is the series has 95 images. You know, I have only a selection of them. You know? That is the Hiroshima report of the bomb in a Peruvian newspapers. You know? This the the unpoisoning, como se dice envenenado? Poisoned victory, as Bertolt Brecht called this horrible event. Well, thank you.
Fernando, did you say you think through images? Did you say that?
Yes.
I think through images, and I comment images through images too. No, of course, there is the relation. I mean, the relation between history and images is there since many times, very long times, and. But the most privileged way to speak or to deal with history is the discursive way, you know, the text and the telling and so on. But since a very long time, but especially since the modern times, where the images are so present and so powerful, so we cannot put images by side by thinking our history, because it is represented in images too, no? And the image is a way to bring thinking in a very effective way since the antiquity. Is not a new thing, but I think with the modern society this phenomena is reproduced and expanded until really in a bigger way, you know. And we are in some way obliged to thinking through images and to deal with the images to explain also our world. So because our world is built by images too, no? I mean, not only because the propaganda is also dealing with images, because the images also, it is a very near and effective way to transmit something. No, it's not necessary to read. Always by looking an image, you know, and I think we have to deconstruct these images, and my way to do it is through the art, with artistic means, now in order to put them in another context and to show them, even if it deals with horrible things, to see it in another way. That is the base of my thinking, no? Which is, of course, a kind of critical way, but at the same time using and dealing with the own properties of the medium. In this case, the ink, the work with the brush, you know, which is a very traditional technique, you know? And in the sense, I see also when I speak about a certain anachronistic way, that is true in the sense that I am dealing with images produced by in an industrial way, in some way, you know? I do a step back. And I go through my hand, not that I want to mythologize or to speaking about the in a traditional or conservative way about the handwork, you know. But in this case, that works for me, no, for my interest. I have to say that for me, the art, to make art, is a way to come to my interest to say what I have to say, in some way, no, without the view or the discourses, the images of the own images of the artist that belongs to the past, you know, the message and so on. But still, it's the only thing I can do in some way, and where I have found a way to express this interest. You know? It's more a medium. Always, I see art as a as a medium. No, it's not. I respect the other positions, but I'm not too interested to see to be involved in art as a whole, as a objective and itself. No, for me, it's only a medium. It's a medium.
Do you make the text into image by drawing it, by using the ink? Is that take text, which you're saying is privileged, and you make it an image?
Yeah, well, I have, first of all, I have to say that I respect always the contents of the text, you know? And the way I built the whole situation is, I work, of course, with assistants, and some assistants, they put with the pencil, they make the layout in some way, you know? And then I come with the brush and the ink to fill the surfaces marked by the pencil, and then all the figurative elements on the image, of course, that is only my hand, and well, I have to do the image. Sometimes it works, sometimes not. So when it's not, then I have to begin again. But well, and the little letters, I do it also by myself, of course. No, it's, yeah.
I love how much they look like your hand. You know, that they don't look machined. They don't look printed. They look, the text in particular looks like your hand.
Yeah, because I mean, of course, this my medical aspect has a certain limit, no? Because I don't want to copy the typography of the newspapers. That could be crazy and senseless, no? Because for me, the most important, despite if not a matter if the people read it or the public read it or not, but I have to have all the information there, no? All the contents, so I'm a little bit obsessed with contents, no? In some way. No, but at the same time, to build this series is a kind of to build also a big forum, no? a new constellation of images with a particular quality also. No? Well, that is in a most traditional way the artistical aspect. Yeah.
I'm interested in the way you described your project of taking these out of the archive and out of history, and that your drawing is an act of possession, and you described it also as a critique. But do you ever worry about a kind of aestheticization of history that's being produced? Mm-hmm. And I was thinking in particular when they're all arranged in a grid,
yeah,
and it all passes through your hands. So there's a way, there's a unifying aesthetic that happens through the grid and through your act of transformation that becomes your stamp, your hand.
Yes.
And do you ever worry that flattens history, that aestheticizes history?
Well, I would say it homogenizes the images, no? And that is for me also important because, I mean, it was a result of my experimentations many years before when I realized that when I transform these documents in my way, I don't deal with the concept of style. Of course, style is a consequence. Like irony is also a consequence of the work, not an intention. No, in the sense what my first approach to this operation is, of course, the appropriation of these images and to do it better as possible, so as I can, no? And well, And of course, it is a kind of it's a style in some way, because of course it's a fact, a visual fact, and you can see, oh, that is the hand of the this artist, of course. But it's not my intention to deal with this kind of ideas or concepts, no. In the sense, what was for me interesting, it's for me interesting, is to have this kind of homogenizations where every image is in some way equal to another, no? But to be equal, it doesn't means to have the same content or to be homologated. No, but this this homogenization, for me, put it out the differences in terms of content, no? Because we are the black and white and the drawing and all this process of homogenization put the images out from the conditions of the document itself, no? And for me, it's concentrated more on the contents, and well, that's it. No, it's, I like this idea to through drawing not to have hierarchies of one image to the other. No, and for me, it's the way to build a certain visual discourse. No. As a kind of narration. It's not a narration in a literary sense, but it's a kind of narrative there. No, well, of course, it is aesthetic because it's art. I mean, I don't know, but that is not. I don't want because some people could say, well, that is aestheticization of the documents. That is not my proposal.
Reacting to, thinking, processing current day images from news or internet? Do you see them as future material? How are you organizing them in your brain?
My primary material, what I find in the archives? Or
no, what's today. Current today?
So, today.
Yeah.
I was working some years ago, so in some few series with the issues of today, no, but it's not too often because I was since 10 years or 15 years involved in this more view, not historical point of view, but well, yes, this interest in the past, no? I'm thinking when I see documents from the past, of course I'm thinking also on the present. When I see the press today or the newspapers every morning, then I'm thinking also on the past. No, that is a dialectical relation between the past and the present and also the future. But today the future not too much, no, a little bit in real existent punk times, because we don't see the future, no. But this relation between past and present is in this sense, no. I see the past in all the news you can read today, no. I mean, of course, we are not in 1933, but you can read everywhere. So new avatars of I would not say the same history, but many of this history is present. And today, that is clear for me.
Mm. I think we probably should end there. Mm-hmm. We've run out of time, but that was great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.